from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net bonus podcast. My name is Jacob Fortan.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
And before we start the show, I want to read a letter that I received. Remember how yesterday, last bonus show, I'm so foolish I was saying yesterday. Last bonus show, we were talking about a process where female lizards are able to reproduce asexually.
Uh-huh.
Well, a fan of the show sent me an explanation as to what this is called. That's parthenogenesis.
I like it.
And the name of the lizard in question was Nemidorphus. Nemidorphus, yeah, that's how it's pronounced. That's the genus of this lizard. Mm-hmm. And an interesting side note, he adds, over 30% of the genus reproduce that way for that type of lizard. They've also seen this kind of parthenogenesis in sharks, some birds, fish, and other reptiles. And we have also, because we're crazy in science, have induced it in other animals that actually reproduce sexually. We've actually induced it. We've done them like a whole Virgin Mary thing, man. It's like, using technology.
Nice. Until we figure it out with humans, though, no one cares. That's usually how it works.
Yeah, all of these other species are like, I'm pregnant? Shit, I better start eating, because this like, thing's going to need food.
You could make a snail immortal, and no one would even care.
Well, there are certain types of species that are technically immortal, like a jellyfish is technically immortal.
Some kinds of jellyfish.
Yeah, some kinds. It's just because they're so simple that they could endlessly replicate themselves.
Well, isn't it basically the only reason we die is because there's something in our genes that just tells us time to start dying?
Yeah, well, pretty much it you get to that point where you can't repair as fast as it's degrading, essentially. So there's no... It turns out that maybe bodies could have learned how to be immortal, but there was no purpose. It didn't matter. Just like that snail, that immortal snail that you could create, doesn't fucking matter. It is not part of the equation. They're like, fuck off. Your quest for immortality is futile. And your parables are laughable.
What, you really think we're not going to figure out, we're not going to crack that nut, the immortality nut?
Oh, I'm sure we're going to crack it, annoyingly, if we can survive that long. And then we're going to have a whole mess of new troubles. Whole mess of troubles.
It's where you really get to find out if you're upper class or not.
Well, let me tell you this. Imagine that we discovered the cure for immortality and guys like Karl Rove never die. Now we need another kind of conversation.
No. Well, I mean, the whole thing would be that it's just that you're not going to die of old age because you aren't just falling apart. But, yeah, I mean, your heart will still be a piece of shit. That'll eventually kill you.
No.
What, you think that the immortality thing will just magically make everything work perfectly forever? No.
Except for the brain. That's the only thing that we can't figure out. The brain. But your body, yeah, definitely could. Remember we were watching that movie? Oh, no, it was the show. Like that vampire show. Zombie show.
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
So the guy wakes up and he's in a hospital bed. And he, you know, he steps outside and his eyes are just like burning from the sun. And
like a Chilean miner.
Like a Chilean miner, thank you. You won't let it go. I love it. The Chilean miner thing lives with you. Right when I thought, what I thought about when I saw that scene was, yeah, of course his eyes would burn because by the time that he had been in the hospital and unconscious to the time that he had woken up, those eyeballs had completely regrown.
Mm-hmm.
It was a new body that you. That's essentially what's happening to you. You are constantly in a state of flux. You think that it's just it's on and off. No. It's why like death is a process. It's not a fucking switch, unless of course that switch is a switch to a bomb. But generally speaking, death is a process. It happens slowly and then it just shuts down eventually.
Yeah, but wouldn't all the fat inside of the heart of Cheney still be there even though there's a lot of new shit that's basically regenerated in the heart, he's still got all the same flaws and problems and everything else like that. They'll still kill him sooner or later.
He would be young again. The DNA that he has You know, whatever, like, immortality is not just, oh, you're at 80 forever.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's just your cells are now able to repair themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be peak form. So that's scary. They'd be young again. Frightening. But luckily, their minds would still, you know, falter. That's so far, I think that's the one thing that we're like, maybe you can get 200 years out of it, maybe 300. But there appears to be certain things in the brain that's not easily as repairable as the rest of this body.
Humans are complicated. We're not snails.
We're not snails. We're not jellyfish. So thanks again for the letter. So whenever I get interesting stuff like that, if I get anything wrong or forget to mention anything, send your emails. I think you'll enjoy that part.
We actually wanted to do a segment called You're Stupid, which is when we were stupid. And, you know, it's a good way. When we accidentally put, say, a Middle Eastern country in Africa or vice versa.
Right.
It's always important to point out.
Please do so. We'll include your letters on the show. And as usual, because this is still atheism, your name need not be disclosed. Don't you just love it about this scene, the anonymity? Okay, on today's show, we're going to be covering two topics. It's not news-oriented. They're just two kind of arbitrary topics that I thought we would just bring up because it's related to atheism and because this is the bonus show. So the first one is we're going to be asking the question, are women underrepresented in atheism? And the second part of the show, we'll be talking about some of the top blog picks. I'll be describing mine. I don't know if Ryan will. I know I will. And describing what I like about these and what I think that we could be done to support some of them. Because it's not just the popular ones. There's also some pretty great small ones that I think are being ignored.
Hmm.
But before we start the show, let's first ask that question. Are women underrepresented in atheism? I give the mic to you, sir. Do you think so?
Not particularly.
All right. And you say that because...
I say that because even though the Four Horsemen are male and a lot of the main voices are male, not most of the people, I don't know statistically, but a lot of the people who listen to the podcast are female. And a lot of the people that I've seen at conventions and at lectures and stuff like that are female. There's a decent amount of females, especially for such a geeky topic. It's more female than I would expect it to be.
Yeah, considering it would be like asking, are there no science fiction fans that are female? I'm like, I know of them. Who wants to go to the place where the smelly nerds go?
Well, just to put it in perspective, you know, I come from doing my sports blog and stuff like that. You want to know about a place where there are no women? That's a place. Atheism is doing just fine. You know, there are not as many, and that's, you know, partially just because I think a big part of atheism's limits tie to the fact that there's not a lot of women just in general in science compared to men as well. And you really, for this whole new atheism thing, people really seem to have a hard-on for you understanding your science if they want to take you seriously. So I think that's probably the biggest problem that women have as far as atheism goes. Is they just, science isn't their biggest bag. There's been all those programs trying to get more women into the sciences and stuff like that. It's just...
Still, though, there are problems. I mean, my sister herself was one of the few women that graduated in engineering. And she went to a pretty progressive university. It's just that in certain disciplines, it's still there's a bit of a lag. Now, I'll describe what I think are the arguments that might make it true. Because here's the thing about my opinion regarding are women underrepresented atheism. And I thought I'd present just the arguments for and against, even before I describe my own. Here are some of the arguments that prove that it might be true. Because you were saying, well, they're doing fine, especially when compared to mixed martial art, which is, man, what a sausage fest. You want to talk sausage fest. But at the same time, you could say it's well represented, but does it represent the general demographic of populations? Like, are there more women than there are men statistically?
Sure.
It's not a huge number, but it is still a number. so if they were well represented, there would be at least as many. Now, you can recognize the fact that they're not as many. There's probably... It's probably closer to 30%, 35% from what I noticed, which is why it's not a big deal.
Yeah, if I was going to completely pull a figure out of my ass, it would be 30%.
Right. And I think one of the things that we obviously realize Now, you know, these are conventions, so these are not necessarily good ways to judge what the dynamics of believers and non-believers are. It's just maybe guys like conferences more than girls. That could be a thing. Do we notice this kind of trends in other conferences? We kind of do, actually. We see more. We see conferences generally very male friendly. And if you have 30%, you're doing good at these things, like we said before.
True.
Okay, so we're not really we recognize that it's not equal. So we're trying to identify reasons why it might be true. Because even then, it might be just. Like, there might be other factors that explain it, but I just want to explain some of the factors that might make it true, okay? And then we'll talk about the against one. So one of the reasons why it might be true is that there is a trend for women to be more religious than men. That's well understood. That trend is well understood. So naturally, if there are more women that are religious, that means you don't have as many to choose from that are going to, you know, eventually make it to, well, let's face it, the motherfucking clear truth here. So you have that factor. So they're more religious generally. And why are they more religious? Well, some theories are that they are less risk takers than men. That's one theory. Like, we take more risks, and when you come out as an atheist in this society, that is taking a risk. You know, you risk being ostracized, you risk losing job opportunities, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that, you know, in some countries you risk a lot more. So men are more risk takers, so they might... Or more rebellious in general. They're more rebellious. So this is
more
still rebellious
than your average teenage girl? That's scary.
Just on average. These are averages. We're not talking about the ones, the statistical anomalies. You're actually supposed to ignore those. I know.
In statistics, the wild children?
The wild cards, you have to ignore them. You have to look somewhere in the middle. You know, like that whole bell curve, where's most people?
Yeah.
They're not on the fucking fringes. They're not that crazy hot chick that smoked and drove that wicked car and had, like, just massive jugs. I'm still thinking about that movie, Saved, by the way. So yeah, okay. Evolutionarily, they're not as big risk takers than men. So that's one reason. The second reason that some people say is that women, although they might not, maybe they would be prone towards irreligion, think that religion is good for kids. That it teaches them things like values and it's good for social cohesion. That's one theory. That's another theory.
Mm-hmm.
And we all kind of see how that has some appeal to it, you know?
Sure.
We've met those kinds of safety moms.
Well, it's like, look at this. My mom, back when she was completely not religious, still put us through Sunday school and stuff. So.
Well, there you go. Another one is that the history of religion and the history of society has generally made women more submissive. In terms of their roles in society, like less likely to get involved in politics and so on and so forth. So they're less likely to also abandon something like belief, which is just another institutional form. So that's one explanation. So maybe that's, I would say that's more valid for the much older generation, probably less true now. But still, they factor in as part of the population. And finally, the last one is that men are usually more encouraged to pursue careers in science and things that generally lead people away from belief. Those are the arguments why it might be true, why mm-hmm. the numbers might be not so good. Okay, you want to hear the arguments against why that might be bullshit?
Sure.
Okay, well, the first one is that we were mentioning before that at these conferences, there were a lot of old people, right?
Yeah.
Well, does that mean that there are no young atheists? You know, when you think about the demographics that go to conventions, there's a lot of factors that are involved. You know, factor like, let's just say the factor of money, cost, right? Well, we still recognize that women tend to make less money than men. So these conferences tend to be pretty expensive. That could be another reason why you would see less women than men. Money. There's also... It's also not taking into effect that in the younger generations, the ones that aren't showing up at these conferences, women are becoming more educated than men. They're the ones pursuing these careers now. They're like two women for every guy, I think, now in schools. It's getting pretty crazy. We are not pursuing education as a gender.
Mm-hmm.
We're leaving the girls to do it. So you have to imagine what happens when you have an entire generation of this being true. and what influence that's going to have on the demographics themselves, the ones that we haven't been able to observe because we haven't seen that new generation come in.
Well, this is the big issue that I have, is that we're talking about, oh, women in atheism and active in the atheist scene. It's like, yeah, there's probably less, but there's a ton of women who are just atheist and they don't make a big deal out of it. I mean, thinking about going through a bunch of people on my Facebook profile, all my friends, and seeing the number of chicks on that where their beliefs is like atheist, 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 or some snarky, funny comment that basically says they're atheist.
The snarkiest, the sexiest.
These people, they will never go to an atheist convention. They will never listen to my podcast. They will never do anything involved with anything with the atheist scene, but that doesn't make them any less an atheist. And I feel like we discount them because they're not out there writing books or attending conferences or interacting with podcasts and being on Atheist Nexus. I think every time we ignore that gigantic silent majority of atheists who don't have anything to do with the scene, we are being idiots.
I think for me, the reason why it might still be true, or might have been true but will be no longer true, is that it's tough. I think it's tough for some girls because it has been dominated by men largely in terms of, you know, the blogs are written. The significantly larger ones are all guys. The main people that speak are all guys. And we have to admit that there's always a kind of, there's that gender factor that still plays into your ability to empathize with someone a little bit more. And that's why when we see blogs like Blag Hag or Skeptic, and there's a couple others that I can't think of right now, but they're still there, and I think that they're going to have that influence on the next generation as well of atheist girls as well. That maybe their voice of non-belief is a little bit different than my perspective. You know, maybe there's a side of it that I don't see. Maybe it's much more concentrated towards things like we fight creationism more because say I have a huge affinity for fucking science, but maybe there's also a side where you're fighting as a woman more for reproductive rights, which are, you know, the scary possibility exists that people are trying to take this shit away from you. And I cannot imagine what that must feel like, where you're just like, oh yeah, you don't get to choose what happens, even if your life is in danger. It's like, excuse me? So maybe there are parts of the skepticism scene which will find, like, you know, more voice, like the voices of more of the mass of atheists that are not necessarily, they don't necessarily care about the same issues that we do. They're not necessarily interested in skepticism, and they are no-nonsense atheists. They're like, this is nonsense.
They don't care about Bigfoot.
They don't fucking give a shit about Bigfoot, you know? Even though I think it was a fine episode, some people are not going to give a shit about Bigfoot. We hope that we're entertaining enough that even if you didn't give a shit, you were stuck listening to us anyways.
That's what you're stuck listening to.
Okay. You think that covered it mostly? You think there's anything else left to say about whether or not they're represented or underrepresented?
Well, unfortunately, there's no real answer that we can give. It's kind of one of those things that we touch on that will just be an open topic.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more. And, you know, if you guys have some opinions, you can write letters. We'll mention them in the bonus shows. If you have thoughts that we didn't cover in
It would be great if some of the females listening to this show told us what they thought. Because, I mean, again, we have penises, and I don't understand women at all.
I think that's quite clear. I actually tried to read a lot of posts that were asking that question. So some of the pros and cons were arguments that I pulled from female atheists. So I thought that would at least be fair. I'm like, I'm going to get some perspective from the female side. Even though we're not fundamentally different, still there are these puzzles that we can't seem to work around sometimes. All right, let's move on. We were going to talk about top atheist blogs. Now, I know a lot of people who listen to the podcast maybe are not really, they don't follow blogs necessarily, because, I mean, it's a bit of a different crowd, right? You got your podcast people and you got your blog people. And just like on Good Atheist, there are some people that just do not listen to the podcast. I know, they're crazy, right? And just read. They're the same, you know, group that just listen and say, I don't have time to visit blogs all day, which is fucking fair. But I thought that we would just talk about some of these some of the bigger ones, some of the smaller ones, because I realized that even the people that listen to the show, when I did that interview with P.Z. Myers, many people that listened to the show had never heard of P.Z. Myers or his blog, and then started following his blog following the interview.
That's a good one, because P.Z. Myers' blog is pretty much the number one that I would say, if you want to read some crusty, angry atheist writings, then check out P.Z. Myers' blog.
Well, he does rank, for me, he is the top atheist blogger for a reason, right? Not only does he produce a lot of content, like more so than anybody else, like twice as much as the people who are also doing it, who are also quite large. So he just puts in an amazing amount of writing. He teaches, and he's still writing his book. So the man is just putting in the hours. And he is unapologetic about his atheism, which is what I like about it. You know, he's on that forefront saying, no, your arguments are fucking weak. This is bullshit. I went to go see him at the Atheist Alliance International, the thing that we did our live podcast from. I went to go see his speech, and he was talking about whether or not there could be evidence, any evidence could be presented that a god is a god, which was a really interesting lecture. And his argument was that even if it was a 500-foot statue shooting laser beam out of its eyes, it's still no proof that it's an omniscient god. It's just a fucking gigantic, crazy, killer Jesus statue trying to obliterate us for some weird reason. But it doesn't make it the kind of god that you're talking about, it created the universe. So he's impressively large. So what? Okay. What else do you have other than this impressive destruction, which is still insignificant when you think about it? So yeah, he's crusty. That's what I like about it. He's definitely very crusty, and he's really not afraid of controversy.
Well, that was the thing about P.Z. Myers, is that when I first heard about him, I wasn't all that impressed with him, because it was right around the time he stole the Eucharist from a church and was holding it ransom and was gonna put a nail through it or something.
Oh, he did do this. Rusty nail and dirt and banana peels and
basically threw it in the garbage and mistreated it. It was like
the only way that it could have been worse if there was a used condom in there. That would have probably, I mean, that's pretty much, that is the kind of tour de force, really. A used condom on a Eucharist.
So you wipe your butt with it. Not like there's any difference, because all that will come out your butt anyways if you eat it.
I think you're forgetting the symbolism here. The Catholic Church, their Eucharist, their body of Christ, desecrated with condoms, which they do not approve of.
Okay, I kind of like that.
And then you have an arrow saying, this was a condom used during gay sex. That's what you have. And there you have it. That is the perfect Eucharist prank that will literally drive them insane. So that's when you heard of him?
That was my first introduction to him, and I just thought that was, you know, I'm totally down with fighting anybody's stupid ideas and stuff, but to the point of mocking their shit like that, I've always been kind of like, it seemed kind of unnecessary. That was my whole position, is that he was obviously just trying to upset these religious people.
Worked.
And I'm just not out there on that same level, you know?
You're not hardcore.
If you know, my atheism upsets people, then I'm okay with that, but I don't go out there and actually try and, like, you know, cause shit storms within the Christian community.
Well, you are the voice of reason on the show. That is your role.
That's sad.
The voice of reason. We never said we were reasonable. This is not the reasonable atheist.
Can the least informed person be the voice of reason? I guess
only
when it
because
comes
you're
to skewing towards feeling bad about religious people, then yes, the ignorant one can be that guy.
Yeah, you're ignorant, but you have a heart of gold. That's why you're on the show. You keep me honest, Ryan. You keep me from being a terrible tyrant, a despot, only through your empathy. And so I guess it's all on you. See how empathic he is, everybody? This is his level of morality that I'm following right now. He's my rock. So he was my number one. My number two pick is the friendly atheist. And I'll tell you why he's my number two pick. It's because he got off the accommodationist bandwagon. And that was, for me, a big, like, nice respect.
The accommodationist bandwagon?
Well, you know, the kind of people that are like Chris Mooney that say that we are undermining the efforts of rationalism by being such staunch atheists, that somehow, you know, unless you're playing nice, then you're actually negatively impacting the whole enterprise.
And he kind of used to be on that bandwagon, or
it's hard to say, because again, he's a friendly dude,
Yeah.
With a bit of an acerbicness that I like, but nevertheless quite friendly. I think, though, that when he really started seeing the arguments more siding towards the accommodationist, this is the same thing that you hear about when you're like, this is not accommodationism regarding the final solution of Jews, okay? This is accommodationalist as in, we've decided to stop being so pussy nice all the time and started actually being, oh, I don't know, a little peeved. A little peeved out of being treated like scum. Yeah. That's not cool.
And this will basically be what's going to happen to anybody who follows enough atheism news, like reading about all the bullshit that's going on in religion, people dying, people being oppressed.
It's like, what do you want me to do? You want me to just like, oh, all these things are happening, but it's so important to society, it would crumble without it. I don't fucking believe it, so why do I have to pretend like I do? Oh, because someone's going to feel bad.
Oh, man. Someone's house is burning down.
I think I'm going to keep that sound effect in the show. I think it adds a sort of, you know, urgency to it.
Hmm.
That we're going to be mad, we're going to be peeved. But that's our market, you know. That's where we clean up the vitriolic hole that we fill for people. So Friendly Atheist makes it there. He also seems to, like for me, a big portion is that who's trying to work. Who's working hard to kind of spread the atheist word, you know? Like, that's what I really appreciate about blogs. It's not just necessarily, I have an opinion, and here's my opinion. It's like the people that actually go out of their way to raise awareness of this. That's what I find is cool. So rather than saying, hey, guys, pay attention to me, which I think is what I do. They're more like, hey, pay attention to this.
Pay attention to atheism.
Pay attention to atheism. So, respect. That brings me on my third choice, which is atheistcartoons.com. Here's some things that I like about atheistcartoons.com. One, the dude puts in the time, man. It's like, I think it's like 3 cartoons a week that he puts up. Now, it's probably more milquetoast than I would generally say. Like, there's no swear words.
Oh, it's this guy. I remember this guy.
Yeah, there's no swear words, and it's generally kind of like, it would be what you would expect, like, the Associated Press to be able to put if they were ballsy and not controlled by religious nuts.
They're like bad editorial cartoons is how I would.
Delightfully bad. Like, the kind of things that you're just like, oh, I could see myself having a little calendar with these, and why the hell not? It's like, not everybody needs the hardcore humor, sir. Not everybody needs to kind of think we're funny. Some people are just going to think we're offensive, rude, and just bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just bad people. And to those, we're like, then go to atheistcartoons.com. You're going to really like it. And I like it on that level. The thing, again, that intrigues me about what he's trying to do is he's trying to get published. Mm-hmm. Like, from a real publisher. So this is what he's put out there. You go to his about page, on atheistcartoons.com, and he just says, I'm looking for a publisher, straight up, man. He's like, I want to fucking break into this. And what does he do? Every single post that he makes, he allows it to be shared effortlessly. Like, you go beneath his cartoons, boom, you can take the URL, boom, you can put it on your own site. He's like, he's trying to share and spread the word about it. And he, like I said, he puts in the fucking time. So I think that if you follow a couple, you should just follow him, because at least the more people that are paying attention, the better chances he has of being published. And that's what we need. You know, it's this kind of stuff we need out there too, everybody. This is a product that I would fucking support. Say, yes, make this happen. Get enough RSS follows or whatever, so that a publisher that looks at your stuff that you've already produced and says, yeah, no brainer, the content's already there, we just have to put it in a fucking book and put a little bit of trust behind the product, we'll, you know, eventually they'll see the dollar signs.
Yeah, I don't know, working that hard to try and get onto a sinking ship, it's like, let me on that Titanic.
I don't agree with the strategy. I think it's better at this, like, I don't know what his numbers are, but I would say, you know, self-publishing, well, why not? Why the fuck not? It could be cool. And guess what? You get to control your own product, man. It's like you get to publish the ones that you want to publish. That's the problem you might have with a publisher. They might say, not this one. And
they would say that more than half the time.
Especially regarding any ones where you have Islam in the cartoon. It's going to be a rough ride. So I think we can probably collectively convince him maybe over time, saying, yeah, the regular publishing industry, not so much, but people seem to enjoy your cartoons. I see them all over the place.
Yeah, it's true.
And if you decided to self-publish, well, I'd put my fucking, I'd put a stamp of approval on that shit in a New York second. I'd be like, I'd be the first one talking about it on my show. Because, like I said before, I like physical products like that existing out there in the world. For every chick track, there should be one of these fuckers. You know? We must be more out there, everybody. Let's support these guys. So that's my third pick. Atheist cartoons.
Very nice.
Okay, my fourth pick is lolgod.blogspot.com.
That was mine. That was my favorite one.
And so I went back and I went and checked out all the archives. So he made the list because it's really just simple but humorous.
Well, here's how it works. It's basically if you don't know what a Tumblr blog is go to tumblr.com. Tumblr.
Tumblr.
Yeah. And what it is, it's just a collection of blogs where people put up funny images and stuff that they find. And there's been a movement. There's more than this one. There's a whole bunch of them out there. Lol God's just, you know, one of the ones that I had my RSS that I've been enjoying the most. But there's a whole bunch that just have funny pictures of Jesus, like just pop culture references to religion. People talking shit about it. Funny stuff where people, you know, believers are just complete morons. I mean, it's a general grab bag of the hilarious stupidity of religion or the hilariousness of atheism. So it really swings across the board. Lots of fun. And those are the kind of atheist blogs that I really like. And I've been thinking about doing more of that stuff for The Good Atheist down the road once the new web show site comes up and stuff like that.
I suppose that since this is a bonus show, everybody should probably know that I'm currently working on a redesign, and it is going to be slick. It is going to look awesome. I've been seriously, like, this is something I've been waiting for probably about a year to figure out, and I just finally did. So I'm going to be introducing all kinds of new little features. The site is going to look different, but it's still inspired from the original, so it's not going to be fundamentally, like, you're not going to know how things are arranged or whatever. It's still a blog. The difference is also going to be that I'm going to focus a little bit more on the comic aspect, which is why Atheist Cartoons kind of, you know, landed on my list, kind of as saying that I know how hard it is to do that, and I have mucho respect for anybody who is, and I actually hope that you can really do the self-publishing thing. And you inspire me, dude. You're definitely inspiring me to get my act in gear. So there's going to be a bit more of a focus on kind of a comic aspect to the blog. Still, I'm going to blog, but every once in a while, I really want to kind of do the more visual comic-y aspect because I think that's a lot of fucking fun, and I think it looks cool, and I think people can identify. It's the same reason why we like lolgod.blogspot.com for just that simple, funny shit once in a while that doesn't have to be, you know, a long-ass article that you're just poring over.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't have to go, oh, well, technically, God doesn't exist, and what this person's saying is totally, it's like, it gets tired after a
while.
Yeah.
We all know. We all understand. We all agree. Let's have some fun.
Let's have some motherfucking fun. And finally, the last blog on my list, in terms of top blogs, I find is Atheist Revolution. Now, he doesn't, VJack, I guess as he's known, doesn't update as often as I'd like. But the thing I like about VJack is he's also on the very crusty side of things. He has a whole idiot of the week. We used to do that, but we just decided, nah. It was getting stale for us. So he has, well, it sounds like an insult now. But he has this feature that we abandoned long ago. But the thing I really like about him is that he intrigues me. He puzzles me. The fact that he's still a fairly large and popular blog, and yet he's anonymous. Like, what is his story, man?
What's his deal?
What's his fucking deal? That's what I want to know. I'm like, are you something crazy, like a preacher or something like that, and nobody knows this crazy double life that you're leading? I mean, I guess maybe I watch too many Agatha Christie for TV dramas.
Well, like the ones where the priest is the most intelligent of the bunch and he has very relaxed notion of his views on God.
No, no, I was just going to say it was a mystery. I was just going to say it was a mystery. Where a person's life could really truly be boring. Like, there is no mystery here. You walk in and you're saying, oh, the reason I didn't publish it is because I have a small printing company and it would destroy my business if anybody figured out that what I did. You're just like, that's not as sexy. I was kind of hoping that you were just, you know, like an Opus Dei priest or somebody.
Yeah, definitely nothing that exciting. Probably something a lot more boring.
But let me have my intrigue. I think he should play it up, man. I think he should play it up. Like, who is this man? Woo!
I do like his name.
V-Jack.
It's cool. It's a good nickname.
Yeah, it makes me think of Free Jack, the movie. Remember that movie?
I do.
How can you forget it?
We just watched it a couple weeks ago.
The future of 1999 is scary. And Emilio Estevez is possibly this world's finest actor. Do you agree, sir?
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Probably not.
I think he will be unrecognized as such. Probably even ridiculed as exactly the opposite. But I assure you, gentlemen, that is only to tarnish him.
He always gets overlooked. His brother, Charlie Sheen, gets all the accolades.
Well, he gets all the attention is what he gets. And the accolades? Yeah, I think that his show is probably the butt of most jokes now. 2.5 Men is the butt of all jokes. All jokes. It's lost all meaning now.
And the punchline is he gets paid over $1 million per episode, which he spends on prostitutes.
I think it's probably the least healthy thing to happen to him since the invention of meth.
What, great success is the worst thing to happen to
Charlie
Sheen?
Oh, my God, you can't have Charlie Sheen have success. You're killing him, everybody. You're killing him. Stop paying attention. All right, before we go, there was a question I wanted to ask out there. Now, here's the deal. There are some people that listen to the show that are that study biology, so hopefully they can find these things for me because some of my questions are unusual and weird. All right, that's just the nature of me. I'm a weirdo. So I have a weird question to post out there to any listener that thinks they can point me in the right direction, is that I would like to know if there is any correlation between sex being pleasurable and it being harder for that species to actually have to have offspring.
Like basically our pandas going extinct because sex is so bad.
Right, you know, like that whole weird thing about the fact that they just don't seem to be interested in each other anymore and how that can kind of, like, is there a fine balance that we have in terms of our sexual interests and you know, our reproductive strategies? Like, bonobos use sex to you know, rather than violence to resolve conflict, right? Well, you're saying, how does that strategy, because it's a strategy to resolve conflicts, how does that strategy affect their fertility rates? So if anybody knows any data that could point me in that direction, and also if this study exists, which I don't think it does, but I would love if it does, do we have a study to determine which animal has the best orgasm? I want to know. I don't know if we should ever make that study happen, because I was thinking about how you would make that happen. Because you would probably have to learn how to give whatever animal the best orgasm just to make sure that you didn't have any misreadings. Because we've all had hand jobs that were not the best, right? Another species is trying to give you a hand job, might not get it done.
Yeah, some orgasms are just very meh, and some of them are thunderous.
So we would have to probably put lots of situation where animals were having like some pretty hot sex, with electrodes in their brains. And, you know, this is probably why this study doesn't exist. But if anybody thinks that it does, please point me in that direction.
You know, we have a listener who I know really enjoyed that conversation we just had.
Oh, dear God. Never mention that to me ever again. All right, well, before we go, I'd like to thank everybody that contributed and that is a patron. In the month of December, we're going to be switching, if everything goes according to plan, we'll be switching to a new feed, so which I'll be hopefully implementing in mid-November. And this new feed will have higher quality versions of the shows, as well as outtakes at the end, including this one. And eventually, I want everybody to be on this one. It'll have both the bonus shows and the regular shows, so no more digging around and looking for that crap. Like, and we're also going to put the tag the shows properly. I'm going to go through the old backlog, and I'm going to be starting to clean that up for you guys as well. It's going to be a stinker.
That is a tall order, my friend.
Yeah, well, that's over the coming months.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, I will have fun with that. And so that's the news, everybody. Working hard to kind of do a nice flex. Put the website a little bit more on the map there, eh?
Yeah, make it better.
Make it better, right. And it's always calm before the storm, so I'm sure we'll fuck things up as we normally do. But keep on riding up, upwards and onwards. And with that, my name is Jacob Forte.
I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody. I thought that I would sort of mention some of the weird shit that pops into my head every once in a while, and I want to bounce this off of you if you think that this would be a funny skit.
Uh-huh.
It's this guy who's just walking down the street, and he's, I don't know, it looks kind of like a churchy kind of area, right? So all of a sudden, shockingly suddenly, he just gets hit by a car. Bam!
Mm-hmm.
He wakes up. And it looks like it's a hospital, but a hospital from like 1912 or something like that, right? Where they have just cotton sheets and they're all of a sudden he wakes up and there's this fucking this nun. This nun that's there over him. He's like, "Oh my child, you're very injured. I've been praying for you all night." And all of a sudden the guy started to panic. Like, it's from his perspective, his eyes, mm-hmm. right? That's how you see it. All of a sudden he starts panicking, and he's like, "I need to get the fuck out of here." Mm-hmm. He looks down, and like you just see this massive, like this really old school bandage, just old school, mm-hmm. with this massive red spot right where his ribs are or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden he's like, "Sister, I need to get to a hospital right now. I'm a doctor, okay? It appears as though I have," whatever the name of this fracture is, I can't mm-hmm. think of it right now. "I have this type of fracture, and I need immediate medical assistance." And it's like, "Oh, but we're praying for you, and the Lord's going to heal you right up." And then just as he's just about to lose his mind, there's a doctor that walks in. The guy who looks like he's a doctor just mm-hmm. walks in. He's like, "Oh, doctor, thank God. Listen, I have this contusion," and the doctor just looks at him and he's like all puzzled and he's like, "What is this jibber jabbing about here that he's going on? These does he not know where he is?" And then all of a sudden it was Christian Science Hospital at the end, and all of a sudden you just hear, "No!" So yeah.
It's not bad.